is stranger than fiction. Many of us are familiar with the story of Christmas. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, King Herod, the three wise men, or just wise men. But often we are very familiar with the story, but we haven't really fully understood the true significance of Christmas. The most amazing truth about Christmas is that the living God has become one of us. In Matthew and Luke, the two gospel writers wrote the Christmas story from the perspective of human. You know, how Joseph, how Mary, and how the birth come into being. But in the fourth gospel, Gospel of John, the writer, Apostle John, wrote it, present the story in poetic form from God's perspective. The theological reason behind the Christmas story. John presented the gospel at the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Why did John use the word Word? The word Word in the original language, Greek, is logos. Why did John use this particular word, logos? Why not, John says, in the beginning was the Son, and the Son was with God, and the Son was God. He was with God in the beginning. Why did John use this phrase, this particular word, logos? Well, you see, John have a very specific meaning, purpose for that. Because logos in Greek philosophy is the rational principle behind the universe. Logos is the source of life. So John used this special word logos, which is familiar with all the people among Greeks. He says, in the beginning is this high rare principle that governs the world, and this high principle, this being, in existence. Actually, in other culture, there are similar words like that. In the Chinese, I want to show a picture in Chinese. How many of you, this is a Chinese, the Tao symbol, you know? In Chinese word, is in the Tai Chu Yau Tao, Tai Chu Yau Dou. And Dou Tao, or Tao in Mandarin, is in the Taoism, is about some kind of air, some kind of power, some kind of thing that you feel in the universe. So, and then, maybe it's similar to the next slide, the Force. You remember the Star Force, the Star War? No. May the Force be with you. So all these are the things that was John was actually using. The word is it's just point out something is very spectacular happening. This word, this logos, this Tao, this force that fills pre-existent with God has become flesh. So today's sermon I am going to do it like that. I am going to invite you to read the passage that we just read slowly in paragraphs. As we read, we meditate, and reflect on it, and I've made brief commentary with it. So that let us all try to absorb what John is trying to tell us about what is really happening in the Christmas story. So that's why I prepared the PowerPoint, and thankfully now it works. So I invite all of you to read it slowly together. With the background that the word that John chosen, in the beginning was the word. And John wants to make sure that we understand the story from the beginning. Okay, let's begin. 1, 2, 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Next slide. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Okay, let's go back to the last slide. The last slide. The previous slide, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. So in other words, there was Logos, was in pre-existence with God. Before there is even the time concept, Logos, the Word, was there, together with God. And the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what is John telling here? He's telling that the Word was both distinctive and also the same as God. The Word was with God. So obviously there are two beings. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Logos exists together with God right even before the start of time. And then the second, next slide, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Isn't that redundant? No. I think John is emphasizing that Logos is the maker, creator of all things in the whole universe. Everything that you can see, feel, touch, or seen or unseen, everything that is in the universe was made by this Logos. And He is the light and source of all life. So John wants to make sure that we read the rest of Christmas story correctly. Mary's child, the one that was lying in the manger, was the maker of the universe. Sometimes we sing hymns, thinking that baby is so cute. The baby smile and they look at the sky. But how many of us realize this baby is the maker of the heaven and earth, of the entire universe. John wants to emphasize that this is the one who created the entire universe. And then let's read the next paragraph together. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Next. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Let's go back to the last slide. There was a man whose name was John. Who is this John? He's not the Apostle John. It's the John the Baptist. You know, remember, all four Gospels before the ministry of Jesus always all mentioned John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent as forerunner and testify about the Messiah that is coming after him. He was sent by God, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, concerning Jesus. Jesus is the light of all life. So that through him all might believe Jesus. John the Baptist himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Next slide. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. Logos was coming into the world. The creator of the universe was coming into the world. Truth is stranger than fiction. Who would have thought about, can imagine writing something that the Creator, as part of the saving plan for humanity, involves himself coming into the world as a helpless baby? Let's continue. 1, 2, 3. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Does it make sense to you? The Creator of heaven and earth came to this world. Even though the world was created by him, even everything belonged to him, yet, the created rejected the Creator. I make this bottle of water, and the bottle of water say to me, "Who are you? You are not my owner. I'll show you who is the owner." There's nothing this water can do. But as human beings, we tell God that you are nothing. You are not my master. You are not my God. Yet, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. What a wonderful grace that God gives us. He gives us this light to illuminate in our hearts that we realize how we rejected God. And for those of us who receive God, the Creator, He gives us the right to become children of God. And this is not fleshly decision. This is a decision guided by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a perspective. How many stars are there in the universe? How many of you? When you don't know something, what do? Hey? You Google it. You don't ask your pastor. You Google it. Okay, next slide. You know, there are 1 billion trillion stars in the observable universe, according to Mr. Google. Do you know how big is this number? This number is beyond our compare. That is one with 21 zeros after it. And notice this is only the number of stars in the observable universe, they said. Because scientists can only observe so much, and they don't know what is unobservable beyond, they don't know. Caesar Augustus, as the Roman emperor, he declared that I am the emperor of the world. Yet while Caesar declared that I am the world, the emperor of the world, the creator of the universe was lying in a manger. God entrusted Mary to take care of the maker of the universe, to feed him, to change his diapers. Who could imagine that? The truth is stranger than fiction. Let's look at the next slide. Together, 1, 2, 3. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Next slide. Oh, no, go back. The Word became flesh. Theologians give them a technical name. And what's that name? Incarnation. The Word became flesh. Carnal is what? Carnal means flesh. Incarnation. I learned of this word when I went cruise. Carnal festival. I didn't realize it was carnal. Carnal festival is now I make sense, you know. They emphasize it so fleshly, you know. This when you join my cruise, it's so happy in the flesh, you know. Incarnation, the Word become flesh. We were all talking about this maker of the whole universe, this logos, this Tao, this the force had become flesh, become a baby, and make His dwelling among us. Apostle John said, I have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth is stranger than fiction. That's why later on, there are some leading scholar, artists have used words to describe this. Let's go to the next slide. Charles Wesley, in one of the hymns, says, "Veil in flesh the Godhead see." And next. And then C.S. Lewis, in his Chronicle of Narnia, have made one of the characters says, "No, in our world too, a stable once had something in it bigger than the whole world." That's the paradox of God. God does amazing things. So, here it is. Towards the end, he talk about, as he continued in verse 7, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, the flesh, not the word, not only a flesh, the word even have a name, a human name, it's called Jesus Christ. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So, what are the implications to us? Very quickly. There are many implications, but I just suggest three very quickly. First, I think it tells us that we human beings have been given amazing dignity, because the second person of the Holy Trinity have taken one, become one of us, taken flesh and changed the second person of the Holy Trinity forever. The Bible never says that Jesus, Son of God, came down, become one of us, fully God and fully man, and after he resurrected, he'll go back, discarded the human flesh. No. It's changed. The Holy Trinity, the second person, has changed forever to become one of us at the same time as God. So human truly are very dignified by the triune God. Second, let me ask you, is there a difference between sympathy and empathy? Psychology major, how many of you study psychology? Is there a difference between sympathy and empathy? Kevin, any difference? Sympathy and empathy. Yeah. Yes. So when I said I have empathy towards you, it's almost like I'm part of you. I feel like you, right? Sympathy is like, "Oh, you said, okay, I know you said." But empathy is, I'm part of you. I feel the pain together with you. Incarnation, Christmas story is telling us that God feel our pain. How? How do we know? He was suffering on the cross. So God understand our pain because he too suffered from the inside together with us. And third, very quickly, it would be, if God, Jesus, is the Son of God, this is the mother of all miracles. So that means all Jesus' other miracles and teachings are believable. As simple as that. You know, if God, the universe can become through the virgin birth, come to this world, what else God cannot do? Let us pray. Dear Lord, as the Christmas come, this season of the birth of Jesus, let us reflect on this amazing truth and the implication to all of us. Help us embrace of this wonderful love and sacrifice that you have demonstrated through your Son Jesus, the second person in this eternal communion of Trinity. Thank you, Lord, for your love. We pray all this in the precious name of your Son Jesus. Amen.